Mike's kind of been open about the limitations there are, both for the offense and the defense, as far as the run game during this time of year without pads, et cetera. What do you think you guys have been able to accomplish, though, even with the reduced number of running plays that we've seen?
I think the biggest thing is just, you know, getting guys, you know, lined up at the right depth for each play. Making sure that they execute the appropriate steps. You know, we've really been emphasizing working on our course, identifying the reads, which sometimes those things get so muddied up, you know, with not having pads on. So I just told the guys, hey, it's all about making sure that you're on the proper depth, proper steps, proper course, and just simulate the reads as best you can. Because I said, we just got to synchronize the run game by doing that, you know, as opposed to, you know, how it's going to happen once we get the pads on and we're able to practice the run game a lot more.
Ben, is Brandon Jackson working with you?
Yes, he's working directly with me.
And did you know him much as a player?
I did not. Only what, you know, guys have told me. And, you know, the biggest thing I told him is, you know, in coming into it is because, as you know, there's no vets, you know, in that room. There's no guys with an extended amount of playing time. So I, you know, told him to, you know, pass that along to these young guys. And I told the young guys to make sure they take advantage of that. And, you know, kind of really told him just, you know, he's working with Ty a little bit, you know, and, you know, we worked through the pass game. And, you know, one of the things that I understand he was really good at was pass protection, you know. So I made sure that he would explain to Ty how important that aspect of the game is.
If I remember right, he wasn't great at it coming in, though. He became that, if I remember his playing days right. Does that show a guy like Ty, you know, hey, this guy started out, maybe struggled at it, but became what he was? He was a third down back, which means he got pass protection.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what I mean. I think all those aspects are they kind of give validity to when he's working, you know, with Ty, and he's able to express to him where he came from and how he got better at certain things, you know, it kind of reinforces what I'm, you know, teaching and Ty, because obviously I never played in the NFL, but it's now also gives him that aspect of a guy that has done it and done it at had a very good rate of success with it.
What can you learn about your rookies this time of year when you can't break tackles, you can't really pass protect against anybody? I mean, other than catching the ball, I'm not sure what really translates. So what can you learn?
You learn how they go about their business, how they go about practice, you know, how the work their work ethic is on a practice field. You learn how they actually learn the game, you know, like whether you're going through meetings, you're watching film, and then you see which guys can take what they learn from the meetings and from what we call the crick, you know, take that out on the football field and execute it. So that's probably the biggest thing, because it is. I've been in that situation very many times, especially with young guys, where you may see something during this time, and you're like, yeah, we got this. Is, you know, you see everything is starting to translate. Yeah, this is exactly what we expected. And then there's another guy, you're like, man, he's not looking as good as I thought. Then all of a sudden, you know, you're in training camp. Now it's for real, and the lights come on, and, man, you see in both aspects, you can see two different running backs. So it's tough to evaluate these guys until training camp.
How long does it take? I mean, we're talking about the young guys. You've got a lot of young guys in your room. How long does it take for things to slow down in pass protection where, you know, you can have a fire blitz, as they could, zone dog, whatever, like where you're just doing it second nature rather than thinking about it, which is, you know, what we always hear coaches talk about.
You know what, all, and it really, I mean, not to avoid the question, but it kind of depends on the player. You know, you try to recreate those scenarios as much as possible on the football field and in the classroom. And one of the things that I always do, one of the first meetings that we have, besides the rules and all that stuff, is we learn about defense, learn how they attack the offense, how they align, how they pressure, how they rotate. Because once they learn about the defense, then start to learn the offense, they see why we're doing certain things. So it helps them to pick up on things a lot faster. Some guys, I mean, will pick up on it just like that. And other guys, they need a lot of trials and tribulations, especially based off of what type of offense they ran in college. Some guys, you got that guy, it was just that simple. Whereas now it's a different, totally different world.
Ben, you said I never played in the NFL.
So, but I don't think there's a lot of coaches. I think we had Joe Philbin here for a while that were actual teachers. I mean, mm-hmm. I know that's part of your job, and we talked about it last time. But in what ways do you think that's going to help you? I never actually asked this question when you were here last time. How's that going to help you with five rookies in your room and a veteran who still feels kind of like a rookie in position?
When you say help me, how's it help me not?
Are there techniques for being a teacher that you apply?
Yes. And it does help me a lot. And I think one of the things, I know I've explained it before, but, you know, probably early when I first started teaching, you know, I was a phys ed health teacher. You know, but when you're a health teacher, you know, what they like to do is, besides having your regular students, is you may have learning disabled students that will never go into an English class. They won't go into a normal social studies class or math class. But when it came to health, you had them in your class with the rest of your students. So you had to come up with not only innovative ways, because as a teacher, you want to make sure all your students learn. It's the same way in teaching and coaching in football. So it kind of taught me different ways to be creative and not only teaching at that time those students that struggled, but I also had to make sure the students that were doing well, I had to make sure I still kept grasp of their attention. So it's, I guess, the biggest thing about it, because just like even in that classroom now, there's certain guys in there now that can pick up on things a lot faster than others, but we all got to go at the same rate. So you really, I just really try to break things down as to the very finest points. And once I do that, I ask questions all the time. I lead them through the answers to the fact where they need to tell me. So you're always constantly, you know, keeping them thinking. And I think, so ultimately what I'm trying to do is create a veteran in a short period of time. Veterans play fast because they know so much. So I try to figure out ways that I can create that with these guys.
Does it help you? I was watching you run the drill where you put all the pads down and they do their little cuts. Does it help your patience? I mean, I'm sure you can chew guys out if you need to. I get that. And these guys are pros. But, you know, the first couple times they went through the drill, it seemed like almost every guy did it wrong. And you had to send them back to start it over. Is patience an aspect that comes from your teaching?
It's an aspect of teaching. I mean, because if you're going to let a guy run through something and doing it wrong, then what are they learning? You know, but I think the other thing that I always found is you always have to, when you're teaching something, you always have to find ways to reinforce it. So if I'm teaching a certain drill, even just a footwork drill, and I see it on film when we're watching it, I stop the film, point it out, because now what it adds is, because all these guys want to be successful, but it adds urgency to what, when we're doing these drills that may seem monotonous and dumb, but now we'll see how they're affecting and how they're helping me while I'm out there on the football field. What it does is it creates, makes those guys want to do it more and do it right. And doing it right, that's where, obviously, I come in as the coach, so they understand that.
What's a relationship like between Ty Montgomery and Rip?
What's their relationship like? It's pretty tight. You know, it's pretty. I think we have a tight room all together. I think that, you know, both of those guys know and understand, especially when we're in personnel groupings where they're both in the game. I mean, they understand how they fit not only in the game plan but how important our room is. And I spell it out to them how important our room is to the success of this offense. And so they kind of take it, you know, the bull by the horns and saying, okay, we're the, you know, the leaders within this group. So in understanding that, you know, they mesh well together. And that's how I like my room. They help each other out. They even help the young guys out, although to a degree they're competing against them. So it's a real nurturing room, so to speak. And I think those two guys are kind of spearhead there.
And Brandon, is he here as a coaching internship?
Like, yes, he's in a coaching internship.
Camp?
Yes. Yes.
Hey, Ben, you've got a starter who is going to need his work because he's still growing as a running back. And you've got five guys, and none of them are, you know, your first round pick or anything like that, competing as rookies. Is there going to be a challenge to figure out how to kind of split up all the training camp reps? And with that, you also want to look, if the guy who's the seventh round pick is the best one, you want to give him ample opportunity to show that. So what's your challenge going to be like?
That can be a challenge. And, you know, fortunately, I do have, and I've mentioned here before, I have a little bit of experience with that. I mean, you're always going to give, you know, based off of how guys are drafted initially, you know, give them the benefit of being featured a lot more than the other guys. But it's like I tell the other guys, I mean, you're going to get your chances and opportunities, whether it be on special teams, and particularly once we get into those early preseason games. Now, we know and realize they're going against guys that are probably at the same level that they are, getting in the, you know, third and fourth quarter. But once they start showing certain, you know, certain traits, and you're like, man, this guy, you know, we got to figure out how to get him more playing time. And then that's when you start to see, and you will start to see certain things start to evolve in terms of reps and practice. Well, let's throw him against, you know, higher competition to see if he can still do it. But, you know, it's very, very tricky because you can't, you don't, you only have so many plays, you know, and that's where trust comes in too. I mean, sometimes if a younger guy, you can trust a lot more than a guy that, you know, you may have drafted earlier. I mean, that's the other thing that can put him on the field a lot earlier.